The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 31.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was a stranger. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to the ones at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick, or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. The word for children this week, they will be reading, Renata Erickson will be reading The Goblin and the Empty Chair. This is a busy weekend. Today is the Grey Cup. I see more than a couple jerseys out there. Thursday was Thanksgiving for our American friends, wherever they're sitting. And Friday was that great shopping holiday, Black Friday. This weekend, the secular calendar turns from fall activities, like American Thanksgiving and Canadian football, towards looking forward to Christmas. Preparations for the holidays, especially shopping. This week, the church calendar also changes focus. Today, Christ the King Sunday marks the end of the church year and also the last day of our stewardship drive. Next week, we will leave the Gospel of Matthew behind and start reading from Mark's Gospel as we wait for the coming of the Messiah during Advent. This is a really busy time of year. There are so many demands on our attention, time, and money. Advertisers tell us that we need to buy the best gifts for friends, family, and coworkers even, and to the latest clothing and decorating fashions for parties and entertaining. Many charities also have campaigns this time of year. There are dozens of Christmas concerts and plays to choose from, and at work, end-of-the-year deadlines hang over people's heads. Here, too, at Church of the Cross, there are many things going on. Yesterday, a large group made glass bowls, led by Lise. And today, after service, we'll be making Advent wreaths as part of the Advent Festival. Thursday this week starts evening Advent services, and there are many other Advent events this time of year. That's all on top of the regular worship services, Bible studies, and small groups. And with all of those things going on, we are asking you right now to thoughtfully consider pledging to increase your financial giving to the congregation. With everything else that's going on, stewardship could start to feel like one more thing to think about, one more event on the calendar, and one more place to send your money. And then we hear today's gospel, which adds a whole bunch of other activities to our to-do lists. We are called to feed, to offer drink, to welcome, to clothe, to care for, and to visit. The standards set for righteous living in this passage are pretty high. Which one of us can say that we have never walked by a hungry or thirsty person without a second thought? I sure can't. As for welcoming strangers, to be completely honest, the thought of constantly welcoming strangers is enough to send me shuddering to a quiet place where I can be shy in peace. And as the list goes on, all those situations, the challenge becomes greater. In Jesus' time, before it was understood how disease was spread, caring for the sick could be a life-threatening occupation. And as I read this passage, I remember Pastor Laura sharing just a couple weeks ago her fear before visiting a prison for the first time. I've never been in that situation, but I'm pretty sure I'd be absolutely terrified and be backing myself out of there too. So when the Son of Man comes, I wonder which side I'll be on. And I fear that I'll be on the left side with the ones who did not care for the least of these. As those people on Jesus' left heard this list of things that they had failed to do, I'm sure that they felt that the judgment was unfair and the requirements unrealistic. To them, it occurs as a pop quiz or a photo radar ticket. How are they supposed to know that they were supposed to be caring for Jesus when they didn't know he was there? But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns that unless we are more righteous than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty high bar again. The Pharisees practiced Jewish law meticulously, following it to the letter. If knowing and keeping the law is what makes a person righteous, then the Pharisees have it covered. But the thing is, following the letter of the law isn't what Jesus is calling us to do. The way the Pharisees approach it, righteousness is a heavy burden. But Jesus calls all of us who are carrying heavy burdens to come to him. And he promises to give us rest because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. When we come to Jesus and exchange the burden of doing good works for the yoke of true discipleship, the ethical teachings that we hear in the Gospels no longer sound like law. Christ's way becomes our way of life. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, the blessed ones, on Jesus' other hand, the right, will ask exactly the same question as the ones on his left. Lord, when did we see you? The difference between the two groups is that for the ones on the right, the sheep, Caring for others is just how they live. Instead of following the letter of the law as the Pharisees do, they have been living the spirit of the law. They are already blessed because they are connected to the source of all life. They live and breathe stewardship. The ones on the right, the sheep, have made Jesus their king and are living into the joy of God's kingdom. 2 years ago, in my first year of seminary, we went to Cameroon on the cross-cultural trip. And there, I met people in churches who had lived into the joy of the kingdom. At every church we went to, the offering was a big deal. Everyone would joyfully dance to the front, from their pew up to the offering plate, kind of like the kids do here. But there, everyone gets up, and they're dancing. It takes a couple of songs, really long songs too, for everyone to dance back to their seats. In many of the places we went, the people were not wealthy. In fact, some of them were among the poorest in the world. And yet they joyfully danced their offering up to the basket. It's not just the way that the offering was collected that struck me, though. It was their whole attitude towards church. There was a girl that told one of my friends on the trip that she had heard that people in Canada only had time to spend maybe 1 hour a week at church. She considered her people to be blessed to be able to spend a couple of hours every Sunday worshiping at church. It's a completely different way of looking at church and discipleship. That girl knew where her source was, the source of life and joy. The people we met in Cameroon were living in the joy of the Master. That girl was right. They were blessed. She was blessed. And we are blessed too. God has blessed us by giving us ourselves, our time, and our possessions. All that we have are signs of God's gracious love for us. And the kingdom of God is a place where people are stewards of creation, they love their neighbors, and they show mercy to strangers, and they live in the joy of the Master. When we care for others and make Christ our King, we are living in God's kingdom. Like the people in Jesus' time, we have many different things competing for our attention. Our time and our resources too. The sum of all those competing forces can be a heavy burden. But I invite you to enter into the joy of the Master, whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. Stewardship is about much more than the number on your pledge card. Your pledge is a symbol of the commitment you make, the commitment to make Christ your King, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Yes, stewardship is a burden. But when we commit to live our lives in God, connected to our source, who has blessed us with ourselves, our time, and our possessions, stewardship becomes a way of being instead of an obligation. As the church year comes to a close and we finish our stewardship campaign, instead of asking, "What will we give next year?" ask yourself, "How will making Christ King change how I live today and into the future?" Today is Christ the King Sunday, and Jesus is here in his glory, and he is calling to us, "Come, you that are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom. Live in it now." Thanks be to God for that.